Normally, when I introduce scripture, I do so using a piece of information that relates to the historical or the cultural context of the passage in order to help you understand it a little better. Well, today I want to use a different kind of tool or instrument to introduce the passage. A psychological tool that I learned about over 30 years ago when I was completing my training to be a high school teacher. The instrument I want to use is called Johari's Window. It was developed by two psychologists, one named Joseph Luft and the other Harrington Ingham. They came up with the name for their window by combining letters from their two first names. Now, the purpose of Johari's Window was to help people understand various aspects of themselves and their identity. The exercise would begin with an individual being asked to pick which of 56 adjectives best described her or himself. Then the same list of 56 adjectives would be given to their loved ones. Once each of the groups had made their selections, the adjectives would then be placed into one of four boxes. The first set of adjectives would be put in the upper left box, or quadrant, and that quadrant contained adjectives that both the individual and her or his loved ones had selected. Since it contained pieces that were known to all people, the quadrant was called open. The second set of answers were put in the lower left. That quadrant contained only the adjectives that the individual had chosen to describe her or himself. And the quadrant was called hidden because it contained pieces that were known only to the individual. The third set of adjectives were put in the upper right corner. And that quadrant contained adjectives that were listed only by the individual's loved ones. And because the individual was unaware of the presence of those qualities in her or himself, that quadrant was called the blind spot. The fourth and final quadrant was where they put the adjectives that had been chosen by neither the individual nor his or her loved ones. And because no one knew this piece of the individual, the quadrant was called unknown. So with this in mind, know that this morning's first gospel reading is drawn from the Holy Week story of one individual, Peter. And to use the concepts from Johari's window, the story is told from the perspective of the first quadrant. For it shares the pieces of identity that were known to Peter himself, to Jesus, and to the rest of the beloved community. So hear now these words from Luke, chapter 22, verses 24 through 34, as read from the Common English Bible. An argument broke out among the disciples over which of them should be regarded as the greatest. But Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles rule over their subjects, and those in authority over them are called friends of the people. But that's not the way it will be with you. Instead, the greatest among you must become like a person of lower status, and the leader like a servant. So which one is greater, the one who is seated at the table, or the one who serves at the table? Isn't it the one who is seated at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are the ones who have continued with me in my trials, and I confer royal power on you just as my Father granted royal power to me. Thus, you will eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones overseeing the 12 tribes of Israel." "Simon, Simon, look! Satan has asserted the right to sift you all like wheat. However, I have prayed for you that your faith won't fail. When you have returned, strengthen your brothers and sisters." Peter responded, "Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death." Jesus replied, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster won't crow today before you have denied three times that you know me." Thus ends the first gospel reading. Now, let's skip ahead in the Holy Week story several hours. And as we do so, we're not just moving in time, we're going to move between quadrants as well, from the first to the third. For the next piece of our story reveals another dimension of Peter, a dimension not even known to Peter himself. Nevertheless, it was known by another, Jesus. Luke chapter 22, verses 54 through 62. Again, read from the Common English Bible. After they arrested Jesus, they led him away and brought him to the high priest's house. Peter followed from a distance. When they lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then, a servant woman saw him sitting in the firelight. She stared at Peter and said, "This man was with him too." But Peter denied it, saying, "Woman, I don't know him." A little while later, someone else saw him and said, "You were one of them too." But Peter said, "Man, I'm not." An hour or so later, someone else insisted, "This man must have been with him because he is a Galilean too." But Peter responded, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." And at that very moment, while Peter was still speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. And Peter remembered the Lord's words, "Before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And Peter went out and cried uncontrollably. Thus ends the second gospel reading. So some of you might be wondering, why, Pastor Craig, did you use all this Johari's window stuff to help unpack these pieces of the Holy Week story? Well, let me take a moment and tell you. You see, like some of us here this morning, I was raised in a church that taught me that I had to live and present myself in a particular way. I call the kind of churches that I was raised in Quadrant 1 churches. And they're full of folks like Peter in the first reading. Folks who are bold and brash, ready to make pronouncements at the drop of a hat. And while I walked through the door of that Quadrant 1 church weekly for many years, no one there knew that I was actually worshiping at the same time and in the same place in a different kind of church, a Quadrant 2 church. For there were pieces of myself that only I knew about. And so while each Sunday I sang the same songs and read the same prayers and scriptural passages as those sitting beside me in the pews, the boldness and the brashness of those around me was replaced by two other things, by guilt and by shame. Now, for the first 25 years of my life, I thought those were the only two kind of churches that existed. Quadrant 1 churches, where you pretended to be something, and Quadrant 2 churches, where you stuffed parts of yourself. But then I reached a point of crisis in my life, a point where I, as a matter of survival, needed to share more pieces of myself. And so I did. Now, thankfully, I was in a reasonably loving and compassionate church at the time, a place where those who had known some of the pieces about myself that even I had not known, and I found out that they still loved me anyway. So 25 years into my journey, I discovered a third type of church, a Quadrant 3 church. And I was convinced that these quadrant three churches were the very best that one could do. But then something happened 8 years later to me, around the age of 33. It was during my second year of seminary, and as I started reading the sacred stories of Holy Week in new and deeper ways, I began to learn about another type of spiritual community. One that wasn't predicated simply in what either I or others knew about me. A type of spiritual community that was based upon accessing those hidden parts of myself that were unknown to anyone. Parts with which I had been uniquely blessed and uniquely equipped to step into the Jesus story myself and serve. I started reading passages like last week's that talked about Jesus' anointing and began to realize that there was room in Jesus' story for people like Mary, by tradition the saint, and Judas, by tradition the sinner. For each of those individuals in their own authentic way played a crucial role in moving Jesus' story forward. And then I started reading passages like this week's, and I learned a reality that I alluded to in last week's service. The reality that few of us come wrapped in sealed containers in which we are labeled either saint or sinner. In other words, I learned that like Peter, each of us have moments in our lives where we live both as saint and sinner. And that isn't a bad thing. For tradition tells us that this same Peter in today's story, the one who at an earlier juncture of his life had been reprimanded by Jesus with the words, "Get behind thee, Satan," and at another juncture had stood in the courtyard in the eve of Jesus' crucifixion and denied him three times. And yet that same Peter would go on to become, according to tradition, the rock upon which the church would be built. In other words, I learned that the Holy Week story of joy and celebration, of saints and sinners, of beloved and betrayer, all come together to help me discover a different type of community in which even the unknown pieces are known. This kind of community was so different than the others, the quadrant one, two, or three churches, that I realized it transcended the notion of quadrant altogether. And that's why I didn't call them quadrant four churches. I called them simply the body of Christ. And so, my friends, as we spend the bulk of our daily lives being known in limited and limiting ways, let us give thanks for the fullness of Holy Week, for the challenges it contains have the potential to reveal new things about ourselves and about God, if only we let it. Amen.